Judith Arcana was a writer and poet, a reproductive rights activist, and lifelong troublemaker. She died this past winter solstice after a debilitating illness at the age of 82. I'm Patricia Kohlberg, and I was a great admirer of hers and honored to be her friend. Many of our listeners may remember Judith from her three-year stint beginning in 2016 at KABU, when she produced a monthly poetry show called Poetry and Everything. Her intent was to explore and lift up the voices of other poets. Only in her penultimate show did she showcase some of her own poetry. Here's a clip of Judith reading from January 2020, including perhaps her most well-known poem, What If Your Mother?
Now I'm going to read you a fabulous sentence, which I did not write, written by one of the great ones of our time and this country, Toni Morrison, who said, "It seems to me that the best art is political, and you ought to make it irrevocably political and unquestionably beautiful at the same time." I read that some years back in, I think it was in an interview, collection of interviews with Ms. Morrison, and immediately said, yes, that is so true. And of course, immediately wrote it down everywhere. I think I even have it somewhere on my website. And now I've just read it to you. So here we go with some poems that are decidedly and overtly political. This one's called Sealed Birth Records Challenged in Court. In the old days, everything was secret. You went away to what they called a home, or you stayed inside your own, hiding your belly when you knew you could not keep it. All the signs were danger signs, breasts heavy with yellow cream, darkening nipples, widening hips, desires for food, sex, sleep, all growing with the child, while you stood wide-footed, moving side to side like a broad-bottomed boat, riding the long tide, going out without you. Salty water shifting with a small internal moon, until eclipse, when they took the child away, and you'd never see it, never know its name, never know if the eyes darkened, mind sharpened, curious about you, if they talked about you, if they said you were first, said you held the baby first. These next two actually are from a collection of mine called What If Your Mother, which is a book that includes poems and monologues about what I like to call motherhood concerns, and not the kind you usually find, let's say, in Hallmark cards. That one, for instance, the adoption poem, and now these next two. This one's called You Don't Know. You think I didn't care about that baby. Didn't wonder if we'd like each other when she turned 14. Didn't think he'd follow anywhere his older brother went. You think we take them out like gangsters, disappear them like generals. You don't know how it works then, do you? You don't know what sits on both sides of the scale, what it means to decide what I got and what I gave that baby I didn't have, baby who couldn't make me laugh, applesauce upside down on her head, couldn't make me cry, taking his first step right off the porch. You don't even know that this is not about regret. You don't know one blessed, I say blessed, thing about it." And another one, actually the title poem from the collection I just alluded to. What If Your Mother? Sometimes when you talk to them, in argument they say, "What if your mother had an abortion?" And then I say, "She did, because it's true. Only that one wasn't me. It was somebody else. Nobody but my mother ever knew that baby." But they mean me. The people who say it mean, "What if she aborted me?" Like that's hard to answer. They're so stupid. Because what if she miscarried or gave me away? What if I drowned at the beach when I was three? What if she loved someone else, not my dad? Then I wouldn't be here either. What if? What if? What's the point of asking this phony question? All you could ever answer is, then everything would be different, wouldn't it? One thing, sure, I wouldn't be standing here talking to some jerk who asked me that dumb question. I wouldn't be mad at my mother for doing it, would I? I think you just have to tell these people, get real. That's not what it's all about.
That was Judith reading a couple of her own poems on poetry and everything. When Judith was arrested by Chicago police in 1972 on charges of felony homicide and conspiracy to commit abortion, it was not her first brush with the authorities. 2 years earlier, as a highly respected and well-liked high school teacher outside of Chicago, Judith was fired by the school board in a secret meeting. Among the stated reasons for her dismissal was the charge that she was, quote-unquote, not keeping attendance properly. Judith always laughed when she told this story. Everyone knew, she said, that the students were getting the wrong ideas, that is, radical ideas, and they must have been getting those ideas from Judith and the two other teachers who were fired along with her. Where else would wrong ideas come from? If she hadn't been fired, Judith would muse, maybe she wouldn't have gone on to earn an M.A. in women's studies and a Ph.D. in literature. But before she did all that, she did the thing she is maybe most famous for. She joined the underground collective in Chicago called the Janes. From 1969 to 1972, when they were busted, the Janes provided more than 11,000 abortions. They started as a sort of referral service to doctors willing to help out, but they wound up learning and performing the procedure themselves. While there were occasional complications, not one patient died while in their care, already remarkable during an era when hundreds of women died each year nationwide from botched abortions. The documentary Our Bodies, Our Doctors, directed by Jan Hocken, explored abortion services in the lead-up to the 2022 Supreme Court decision to allow states to recriminalize abortion. Here's Judith speaking in the documentary about the Janes.
This photograph is actually my mugshot, taken by the Chicago police on, as you see, May 4th, 1972. The bust was actually on May 3rd. Seven Janes were taken, and abortion, when it is illegal, is felony homicide. Those were the charges. We, the women who worked in it, called it the service. In my own case, I actually discovered the service in the summer of 1970 through asking a medical student who was a pal of mine, I may need, do you know? And he said, everybody here, meaning the University of Illinois Medical School at Chicago, everybody here says, call this number and ask for Jane. That was pretty striking to me. I thought, oh, really? The women who worked in it used that as sort of a code name. Call this number and ask for Jane. That was the line. In the main, the medical industry was not the least bit interested in assisting women in those ways. And of course, as we know, the medical industry was not particularly interested in assisting women in many ways. And it was in those years that we saw the rise of the book Our Bodies, Ourselves, which began as a newsprint pamphlet of, I don't know, maybe a dozen pages. It was like contraband. Everybody, we thought, oh my God, look at this. Look what they're doing. And that came out of those years because the medical industry was not serving the needs of women.
That was Judith in her own words about the Janes, the underground abortion service in Chicago. Back in 1972, the Janes each faced up to 110 years in prison. But when they went to trial, none of the women they had helped out would testify against them. Months later, the Supreme Court issued their ruling on Roe v. Wade, and the charges against the Janes were dropped. No fewer than four films have been made about the Janes. If you're wondering which one to watch, I recommend The Janes, released in 2022, directed by Emma Pildes and Tia Lesson, and co-produced by Judith's own son, Daniel Arcana. None of the other films quite capture the political context of the times like this most recent film. Another documentary about the women's movement of the 60s and 70s that features Judith is called She's Beautiful When She's Angry, released in 2014. It's also worth a watch.
If you only knew how scared I was to tell you, built it up so much in my head that I let you down. If you only knew the pain I put my heart through. Living a lie for a life can be tiring, so I choose the truth. But you would say, keep it on the low. Nobody needs to know, they might not see you the same. But I'm too far gone. Now I'm free. Now I'm free. There's no way you can tell me who I'm supposed to be. See, now I'm free. Now I'm free.
That was Kat Burns with her song Free, part of the soundtrack to She's Beautiful When She's Angry. After her stint with the Janes, Judith went on to get her degrees and to teach. She taught in schools, in universities, in prisons, and in people's homes. She taught writing and literature and women's studies. And she wrote. Her first book, Our Mother's Daughters, was about how a sexist society shapes the mother-daughter relationship, and not always in good ways. She followed up with Every Mother's Son, a book about how to raise a boy to be a feminist. My favorite of her books, however, is called Grace Paley's Stories, a literary biography of the writer and activist Grace Paley. The book interweaves biography, social history, and literary criticism to create an astute and endearing portrait of a woman who lived large in both literature and political activism, not unlike Judith herself. Later on, Judith turned to poetry, publishing several collections of verse, including What If Your Mother? Her last book, Hello, This Is Jane, inspired by the growing threat to legal abortion, is a collection of stories about the Janes. Judith insisted on the organically political nature of art and literature. Everything she wrote issued from her activism and was deployed as part of her activism. In conversation with local poet Judith Barrington, Judith had this to say. I could argue that all poetry is political. Indeed, I could argue that damn near everything in human comprehension is by definition political because we filter everything through our necessarily political location and consciousness. But I know that's not what all the shouting's about in PoBiz. What everybody gets all worked up about in the USA, and pretty much nowhere else, is whether poets ought to engage overtly any political themes or issues, whether by doing so they render their work not poetry. Because class and race and unemployment and farm labor are not lyrical, or something like that. That quote is from a conversation between Judith Arcana and Judith Barrington, published online in 2009 in Eclectica magazine. Judith moved from the Midwest to Portland a couple of decades ago, lucky for us. Here's more of her reading on KBOO from her book called Fourth Period English.
I've written a lot about abortion in both prose and poetry, and I took a fly at a shot, a jump, at writing about immigration a while back, and then most recently brought a collection back into print called, it's a chapbook from Eberhard Press here in Portland. It's called Fourth Period English, and it was sparked actually by the young people who have now, for the last decade or so in the United States, been called the Dreamers. I was lucky enough to spend time with these kids, and I mean kids. I'm talking 13, 14, 15 years old, plus a few older folks, and then people my age, even older yet, sitting around a dining room table, putting out a mailing, listening to them talk about their lives, how their parents brought them here. And to my astonishment, really, this does happen, people. Some of you know this, some of you don't. You can trust me. I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes this happens. To my complete astonishment, these kids sort of made other kids, fiction kids, kids I made up, come into my brain and talk and talk and talk and talk. So this chapbook has 25 spoken poems, each one spoken by a character or a group of characters. One, for instance, is by the boys' soccer team. One is by two girlfriends together. But what they're all about is their teacher, Ms. Solomon, has given them the assignment in fourth period English, hence the title, to discuss immigration in literature and life. And naturally, they argue, not to say fight, and have some disagreements. I'm going to read two of those. This one, many of the people in the book speak with a little Spanish in their poetry, and others do not. They come from other places and so on. This one is called Becky Talking. You speak the language pretty good, except you have that accent. You don't sound right when you're talking English. You say it like different from how it really is. My family came here 100 years ago. My grandma says they had to leave home. She tells me stories. She has the hat her own grandma wore on the boat coming here. She worked in a factory making shirts instead of high school. She couldn't read in English, so that's why I'm asking, why did you come? Did you have to leave home? And this one, Aurelia Talking. She's much later in the book after hearing many other people speak. You think we all come from Mexico, and up here, maybe that's the most, but also Guatemala. Do you know where that is? And even Colombia, far away as that is from this huerta, far from these apples and pears. I wonder if you even know these other countries are in the world with you. Like, you call your country America, but it isn't. This place is only Los Estados Unidos, the United States of America, a chunk of a chunk, a piece of a piece, del norte. ¿Comprendes? Do you know Canada has more land up there on top of you? Do you know Brazil is almost as big, and it's only one part of America del Sur, the whole south? You think you know where you are, where everybody is and should be, but do you? It's my girl, Aurelia.
That was more of Judith reading her own poetry on her show, Poetry and Everything. Judith was funny, smart, compassionate, energetic, and uncompromising. She was a vibrant part of our literary and activist scene in Portland. She will be missed. I want to give the last words today to Judith herself. This is the advice she offered back in 1995, especially to women. But the words hold true today. Here's Judith in an audio clip from the movie Jane, an Abortion Service.
Assume that you must educate yourself and that you must find people who seek to be conscious and seek to do good and right in the world and be with those people. Seek women and girls who want to have integrity, who want to own their personal power and use it to make their way through life in this world, and hang around with those girls and women. Don't stay where people tell you you're crazy, you're stupid, you're weak. Don't spend time with people who tell you, oh, it's pointless, it's useless, or oh, they tried that, or it's passé, or this is post-feminism. Just say, okay, that's who they are. We're done with that. Now we'll move on to the next. It can be lonely, it can be scary. It will be lonely, it will be scary, but it will not be impossible.
Those are words from Judith Arcana, reminding us that a better world is not impossible. This is Patricia Kohlberg for the Old Mole Variety Hour, speaking about my friend and comrade Judith Arcana, who died last month. The song you are listening to is called Don't You Hear Me Calling by Ike and Tina Turner, from the soundtrack to The Janes.